town special committee to order at approximately 10:18. Today is February 9th, 2010. For the record, we have Representative Munoz, Representative Book, Vice Chair Keller, Representative Kawasaki, myself, Chair Edgman, at the table present. As always, we ask everyone to silence their cell phones, if they would, please. Two agenda items today. First would be to hear SJR 22, which deals with federal preemption of salmon management. I'd ask the committee to recognize that we did hear this bill essentially in terms of the House version that was before the committee on April 14th. It was our last hearing last session. So we are now hearing the Senate version that comes over to the House with both the Senate sponsor and the House sponsor at the table. And with that, not seeing any comments or questions for committee members, Senator Huggins, Representative Stoltz, welcome to the committee.
Yeah, thank you very much. Charlie Huggins from District H.
And Bill Stoltz from the southern part of District H, District 16.
Yeah, and if I might say thanks to each of you for the opportunity to speak to you today on an important subject. And I just make one corrective note for you. In the sponsors, it has Senator Terrio's name there, and obviously that's not appropriate any longer. So if you can make that tentative change. You know, and I think most of us would understand this sort of language. I may not dip net, you may not dip net, but we have a number of friends and neighbors that dip net. It's number one, it's a tradition in our state, but most important, it's about putting food on the table for families. And, you know, if I turned what this resolution stands for around, it would be like the dip netters saying to the commercial fishermen, we want nets and boats and we want to be able to fish with you. But remember, dip netting is reduced to only residents. This challenge is brought by non-residents that want to come dip net. And that is a tradition that has not been enjoyed for a long time. And the reason we have this resolution today is to combat that mentality. Now, the good news is that when you start talking to commercial fishing groups, in this case, commercial fishing group United Cook Inlet Drift Association has the suit. And there's an individual by the name of Herbert Jensen who has joined that. And when you talk to other commercial fishing groups, they want to distance themselves because they understand this is somewhat nuclear because it's taken on you and I and our neighbors in the business of dip netting. So where does it affect? It affects us down on the Kenai River, the Kasilof, and Chitna. So if you live in Fairbanks or someplace up in the northern tier, you know, where a lot of people go to Chitna, the commercial fishing guys are saying, we think our out-of-state permit holders should be able to come and do that with you. And the regular, normal, out-of-state person can't dip net. That appears to be much, much too selfish, if you will. And it, as you may recall, that the different pieces of this, when it comes to management, this is about the state management of fish as an asset and not about federal management. We have state management of state waters. This suit is brought to the United States Secretary of Commerce. It's asking the federal government to come in and get their hands into our business. I don't know about most of you. I am strongly a state rights advocate, and I think most Alaskans would expect us to be state rights advocates. And some group or some individuals that want to make this a federal issue, I think is doubly bad for Alaska, the precedent it would set. Mr. Chairman, there are a number of pieces in here that, that my good friend Bill Stoltz, as a representative and been working both as a legislator and as a staffer much longer than I, that understands this backwards and forwards, and I would defer to him for additional comments and information as it may apply.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. I'd like to have the record reflect that we've been joined by Representative Johnson and Representative Millett. If we could, just a procedural matter before we turn to Representative Stoltz, I'd ask Vice Chair Keller to have the committee formally adopt the CS, which essentially just contains a couple of non-substantive changes, the governor's name and the AG's name and things of that nature. Vice Chair Keller.
I'd like to move House CS for CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 22, Fisheries, that's version S, LS0866S as a working document.
And I'll object for discussion.
You'll object to the, okay, we have an objection on the table. Representative Stoltz, do you want to offer some comments?
Well, Mr. Chairman Edmund, well, I'm not going to engage in the committee's debate on the CS. So you want me to generally comment on the bill? I'm a little uncertain about where you want me to go here.
Okay, well, let me, and thanks for that clarification. Representative Book, you are objecting to the adoption of the CS itself and the changes. What I'd like to do is ask the committee if there's any additional discussion on adopting the CS. If you will remove your objection, we'll have the CS in front of us, and we can proceed forth, because right now you're objecting to the changes in the CS. That's the technical nature of your...
Mr. Chair, I would like a little description of what the changes are before we proceed.
That's all I'm asking, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
Okay. Fair enough. Then, Representative Stoltz, do we have somebody who could... I've got a note here from my staff saying the changes are basically just sort of grammatical, if you will, and nothing more.
Mr. Chairman, I thought the representative did a pretty good job explaining the changes. It's changing the governor's name. It's changing the attorney general's name and other minor changes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, do we need to know more than that? I mean, I thought he did a very good job. Is Representative Stoltz, if I might, is there more than that?
Yeah, I didn't see the CS, but I trust the process here in the committee that they were technical in nature.
We do have the senator's staff nodding her head in the background in agreement with the comments that were just made by Representative Johnson. So I think
if that satisfies the vice chair, that satisfies me.
Okay, so the objection has been removed. We have the CS in front of us for formal discussion with that. Representative Stoltz.
Thank you. I'll make this very brief, Chairman. This was introduced last year. Wasn't a fight I wanted to pick, but there were lawsuits filed in federal court against then the predecessor to Secretary Lockett Commerce. By a couple of fishing groups in Alaska, seeking to use the federal courts, suing the establishment of personal fisheries in Alaska as being just generalists, they were not legal under the terms of the provisions of the Magnuson-Stevens Act. It's probably an oversimplification, but it's pretty really where we're at. These fisheries, frankly. Alaskans have a hard time following activities in the arcane structure of a commerce secretary being sued in federal court. It's a states' rights issue. If any other Alaska fishery was being attempted to be subverted by through our federal courts, our attorney general and others would be jumping up and down on this. And that's I wanted to everybody to jump up and down on this one. Not everybody, but those who felt as strongly as I do. It's a serious states' right concern. It's protecting. It's preserving a fishery that was duly established in our process, under our state processes, and under our state law, providing fishery for Alaskan residents. I firmly believe that the most important fish is one that provides protein for Alaskan families. And serving on the ASME board now into my sixth year, I agree with their marketing that Alaska wild salmon is the best protein available, and I think our Alaskans shouldn't be in a, whether it's subsistence or personal use, shouldn't be in a pecking order below that of resident and non-resident commercial and sport fish use. And that's it's probably about as simple as that. Probably gets more complicated in the details, but that's the whole premise of the legislation of the resolution, standing up for Alaskans. Supporting our duly established fisheries against suits in federal courts filed by residents and non-residents that participate in the commercial fisheries to seeking to eliminate our resident-only fishery, which takes, in addition, I think it was open for about a week in Fish Creek in the Mat-Su Borough this year, probably the first time in about 15 years. And, you know, there are some smaller ones. I think there's personal use that but very small scale in other parts of the state. China Poot, I think Representative Keller may have participated in that, and there may be others. I don't have the breadth of knowledge of fisheries in every part of the state, but it's really, it's about this world-class protein for Alaskan residents first.
Thank you, Representative Stoltz. Committee members, any comments? Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm not sure I have a comment, but I do have to declare conflict. I want to be very clear. For the last 10, 12 years, I have participated in the Chitina dip netting and had a permit, and not, I'm not very skilled at it because I don't always limit out, but I do participate. So I do want to put that on the record.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments for the coal bill or the House and the Senate sponsors of that?
Yes. If I could just add, Representative Johnson talked about that, you know, the last 10 years, remember this goes back into the 80s, the tradition that we're talking about is being challenged. And I think without any exaggeration, if you went to my neck of the woods and visited my neighbors and you talked to them about this, they would be angrier than you can imagine. And when you look at the volume of permits that are issued, as I recall, in one area from about 18,500 to 23,700 is the window down on the Kenai and the Kasiloff. A significant number of people. So it's a popular fishery, but most important, forget about popularity for a second, it provides protein, as my colleague mentioned, on the tables of Alaskans, and that's important for me, and I think it's important for you, and it's important for the tradition of our state and the future of our state going forward.
And,
okay,
Mr.
Chairman,
thank you, Senator Huggins. I just want to amplify, I support more Alaskans as well as more Americans eating wild Alaska salmon.
Representative Millett.
Thank you, Representative Edgman. I just want to put on the record, too, that I have a conflict because I have participated in both the Kenai, Kasiloff, and the commercial fishing, although not in the Cook Inlet Drift Association in the Bristol Bay. But I just want that on the record so folks know that I'm a user of both. So I appreciate the sponsors coming forward with this because it is a state's issue, and I believe that our management should be done within our borders, and I think that we have a lot of undue influence from the federal government exerted on our state right now, and so I'm glad that we're having this conversation.
Okay. Vice Chair Keller?
Well, you ready for a motion, sir?
Well, we do have a few people that want to testify on the bill.
I'm ready to get to that thing up.
Enthusiasm. I would thank Mr. Huggins and Representative Stoltz for coming forward. Really appreciate your
time.
Thank you very much. And we do have a representative from the department here. I see her shaking her head. She's not signed up to testify. We do have, in the MATSU, we've got a couple of people signed up, so I'm going to go into public testimony, not seeing anybody else here from the agency or anyone else wanting to testify. Rod Arno, are you online?
Yes, Representative Edgman. And I appreciate the opportunity to testify before the committee. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Outdoor Council. Sure, most of you are aware of it, statewide organization, 10,000 members statewide, and since before statehood, AOC has been advocating for states' rights, so we were pretty perturbed when both of these suits were filed and felt that there was no justification for these two suits being filed. And so just to make it quick, the Outdoor Council supports passage of this resolution, and we hope that the governor will have the AG's office and will intervene in both of these suits for us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Arno. Not seeing any questions. Next, we'll move to Mel Grove, who should be at the same site. Are you there, Mel?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Chair, for allowing me to testify today. And I do run a charter out of Valdez, so I...
Mel, could you put yourself on the record, please, with any affiliation?
My name is Melvin Grove. I live in Big Lake. I run a charter out of Valdez during the summer. I'm also a board member of the Alaska Outdoor Access Alliance, and recently was reelected to the MATSU Fish and Game Advisory Council, receiving 604 votes of like-minded citizens out of 639 that registered that night. I strongly support House Bill 622 and SJR 22 and commend the legislators who submitted it on behalf of the public. Our fish resources are held in trust under the public trust doctrine, and the citizens are entitled to catch their own and cook it fresh. I would have thought that it was common practice to manage our fish resources to favor the citizens of the state. trust that you will support SGR 22 and House Bill 622 and continue to allow citizens the right to harvest their own resources. I do want to make clear that I have nothing against commercial fishing industry. They should be allowed to take the harvestable surplus after the citizens have harvested their own. And I'd just like to thank you and do hope that everyone supports this.
Thank you, Mel. Is there anyone else at the Matsu LI who wishes to testify this morning?
No, there's not.
Okay. Next, we will go to Fairbanks. Byron Haley, can you identify yourself, please?
Yes, I am Byron Haley, 1002 Pioneer Road, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99701. And I am president of the Chittenden Dipnetters Association. And at our board of directors meeting last night, we voted unanimously to support SJR 22 and House Bill 266. I am also on the board of directors for Alaska Fish and Wildlife Conservation Fund of the AOC. Thank you.
Thank you, Byron. Not seeing any questions from committee members, we'll go to Ken Larson at the same site. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. I'm Ken Larson. I live in North Pole, Alaska.
Did we lose you, Ken?
Okay. Oh, it went to mute. Sorry. This is Ken Larson. I live in North Pole, Alaska. I've been an Alaska resident since 1984, and I also run a charter business out of Valdez, Alaska. I'm here speaking on behalf of the approximately 28-member Prince William Sound Charter Boat Association. We want to go on record as supporting this resolution as well as House Bill 266. We have been living through the disenfranchisement of the Alaska sports fishermen, subsistence fishermen, and the halibut arena for the last many years. We've seen the results of federal takeover of the fishery, and we would not like to see the same thing happen to the dip netting and salmon industry. The passage of this joint resolution, as well as the House bill, will certainly set a precedent on other fisheries, and we just want to go on record as being in support of that. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ken. Not seeing any questions. Anyone else at the Fairbanks site who wishes to testify?
Nobody else.
Okay, great. Anyone else online who wishes to testify on SJR 22? Is there anyone here in the committee room who wishes to testify in person?
Mr. Chair, this is the Kenai moderator. We do have someone for SJR 22.
Yes, ma'am. Can you have them come forward, please, and put themselves on the record and identify any affiliations, please?
Hi, my name is Ricky Geese. I'm the executive director of Kenai River Sport Fishing Association in Soldotna, Alaska. We're a 501c3 fishery conservation organization. We are supportive of the resolution. We think it's important that when issues of fisheries management between the federal government and the state government, who's managing the salmon fisheries, and a case goes to federal court, we think that it's important that the state of Alaska be represented in the case through the Attorney General's office, and therefore we are supportive of the resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Geese. I'm going to assume that you're the only one there who wishes to testify, and not seeing any hands or nods in terms of questions. Once again, do we have anyone else online or here in the committee room who wishes to testify in person? Representative Book?
Chairman Engine, I just I don't see letters of support. I'm curious as to the department and as to the governor's office. Do we have any kind of a view from the sponsor, from their offices or departments as to their direction or inclination on this bill?
Representative Stoltz, do you want to come and speak on behalf of the resolution?
Bill Stoltz again for the record. That's the whole point of this resolution. I didn't ask them if I could ask them to get involved. I mean, I've communicated to the Attorney General very directly. He wasn't aware of it. Department of Fish and Game has been fully aware of this. They haven't been involved. They're acutely aware, I believe. I believe Department of Fish and Game did file on behalf of Alaska in federal court. So there have been there haven't been letters saying they want us to send them a letter, but which is basically what the resolution is. But I think the action of Commissioner Lloyd or the attorney is filing on his behalf speaks to their involvement.
Follow-up, Person Book?
I was just wondering if we did get a response. I understand what this is all about, Representative Stoltz, for the chair, that, you know, we're giving them our indications and our directions, and I've, in pursuit of some direction from them, I was just wondering if you got a response.
Thank you. I think the question's been answered. At this time, I'm going to close public testimony. And Representative Kawasaki?
I just have a question for the sponsor on the title.
Representative Stoltz,
or just somebody that can answer the question.
We'll have staff to Senator Huggins come to the table. Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It addresses the Chitna Kenai Kasilof sockeye salmon. Is there a reason why they're only addressing sockeye salmon? Is that part of the litigation? I don't actually know.
Good morning, Chairman Edgman and members of the committee. My name is Sharon Long. I'm staff to Senator Charlie Huggins. And we have Brian Kane online from Ledge Legal, who may be able to speak to the specifics of the title, if you would indulge him.
Brian, can you identify yourself for the record, please? And hope you got...
This is Brian Kane with Legislative Legal. And Mr. Chair, I don't know that there's any specific reason. I'd have to go back and look at the lawsuit again. I don't know if there's a specific reason for sockeye being used there. I know it's not used in the be it resolved line on page 3, which is usually matches the title somewhat, at least they're in close relationship. So that's something that if wanted, we could take out the word sockeye.
Well, Mr. Kane, and looking at the bill sponsor, I'm going to surmise that this is the species that the dipneters utilize, and therefore that's why it's in the title. I mean, is it that basic?
That's our understanding, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Well, Kawasaki.
Just to follow up, I could say that when I started fishing at Chitna in the mid '80s, we were allowed five kings. It was reduced to, I think, 3 and then 1, and then last year it was reduced to 0. I'm just wondering, and this is all during the same time that the commercial set netters and gill netters at the mouth of the river were allowed to take kings, and they had a small window. But we, let through lots of kings this last year, met escapement goals. I'm just curious why the king salmon weren't addressed, because it's a big part of, I think, Fairbanks' concern is that the king salmon populations have declined, and the personal use numbers that we're allowed to catch have declined, while the commercial numbers had not seen the similar decline. So I just wanted to point that out as a
comment to
as an aside. Sure.
Any sort of rebuttal to that, or any following comment to Ms. Long?
No, not specifically to including king salmon. I think Senator Huggins and Representative Stoltz have thoroughly spoken to the purposes of the resolution. You might want to understand that remarkably, the USEDA are able to keep for their personal use an unlimited number of fish from their commercial catch already, I guess I can't add any more to what the sponsors have said. The case is viable. The parties have been very active filing motions and briefs. Just last week, the plaintiffs moved to go forward to oral arguments, so this is a live wire. You have something new in your packets just as of yesterday. It's a response from the U.S. Department of Commerce, National Marine Fisheries Service. They responded to the petitioners saying that under the Magnuson-Stevenson Act, they lacked authority to regulate the state's personal use fishery conducted within state waters. In your packet, there's a copy of their letter and a red tab in the backup documents explicating their position on that.
Okay. Any other committee discussion on SGR 22, Representative Munoz and Representative Johnson?
Thank you. Just to follow up on that, does the case involve more than one species, or is it just focused on sockeye?
It speaks to the fishery generally. Mr. Kane, do you have any information about the species-specific mention in the case documents? I might add that there's some difficulty in getting the documents from the court. Ledge Legal had been trying to get them over these past couple of weeks and has not been able to get many of the actual documents.
Mr. Kane, any comments?
Mr. Chairman, I do not have the case in front of me at the moment, and so I'm not sure exactly what the suit itself speaks to, but that's something we could probably find out if we can get a hold of the either the briefs or the whatever documents are out there involving this case.
Representative Stoltz, do you want to come to the table?
Thank you again. Bill Stoltz just was going through the, I hadn't looked through this case in several months, but the phrase here, it says, members of UCEDA consist of resident and non-resident commercial fishermen who rely predominantly upon the harvest of sockeye salmon to earn their livelihood, and that's the basis of their suit. So not the point made by Representative Kawasaki, I certainly valid. It's I'm often into one fight at a time, but it's. I understand. I first worked for a Fairbanks senator now 28 years ago now, and the first thing I heard from him was, "Pay attention for me to the Fairbanks fisheries. So this chitin and dip net is my biggest sports issue, biggest outdoor issue, and so forth." And that was not before Representative Kawasaki was born, but not too long. That I understand his, and it's probably. And certainly there are limits on the amount of king. I don't think there are kings allowed in the harvested in all the dipnet fisheries. I think it's the same corresponding limit as you're allocated to. And I know it's a big part of the Fairbanks culture. I think I can say that as well you can probably go down there and justify time off during election season because you'll see a lot of your constituents there if you're from the interior or from Mat-Su. So, but I think there is a specific reference in to it, the point that the litigants emphasize on sockeye.
Okay. Representative Munoz, is that fine? Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'm not sure who this is for, but I want to make sure that I heard that a commercial fisherman can keep all the fish they want for personal use? Is that the statement that I heard from the...
It's not what I made. Certainly Fish and Game is here, and I know the chairman probably doesn't like nods on the record, but I won't talk about something I don't know about. I guess I do sometimes, but I'm not going to do it today.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Stoltz. Thank you. We'll bring Ms. Long back to the table. I think she can address Representative Johnson's question in more detail.
Thank you very much. And Representative Johnson, through the chair, I thought that was remarkable, too, and I checked with Fish and Game last week, and they assured me that, yes, that was correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any additional questions, committee members, comments? Representative Johnson?
I have a question for I think, is it Mr. Kane that's on the phone? Mr. Kane, would it do any damage to this if we just said chitina salmon? Kenai, Kasilof, and chitina salmon for personal use and took sockeye out and just made it available to any salmon that the department might deem to be a dipnet fishery in the future?
Well, Representative Johnson, through the chair, it appears to me the goal of this resolution is to directly impact this particular lawsuit. And so I don't know that, I think if you say salmon in general, it would still only apply to the particular dipnet fisheries that are involved in this lawsuit and whatever, and if sockeye is their fish that they're actually going for that's at issue in the lawsuit, then it's still just going to revert back to being the sockeye at issue. All you're doing is coming in here and opposing this lawsuit. It's not really setting any kind of far-reaching situation, at least with this resolution, beyond the three fisheries that are listed here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Johnson. Vice Chair Keller.
First of all, thanks for the sponsors and some enthusiasm. I'd like to move House CS for CS for Senate Joint Resolution 22 Fish version LS0866S out of committee with individual recommendations. Thank you.
Not hearing any objections, so moved. And the committee will stand on for a second as we sign the appropriate document to accomplish that. We'll come back on the record at approximately 10 minutes to 11. Next, we have House Bill 266 before us. The bill sponsor, Representative Stoltz, fortunately had to leave the committee room to attend to other things. We have a staff in front of us. We also have online Mike Mitchell with the Department of Law for any questions or clarification later on. And with that, Mr. Mulligan.
Thank you, Chair Edgman. For the record, my name is Ben Mulligan, staff to Representative Bill Stoltz. I hate to say that House Bill 266 is simple, but it is because that usually jinxes me, but it is short. The intention of the sponsor is to direct the Board of Fisheries, when we're looking at escapement goal issues, is to put a priority on personal use fisheries above commercial and sport. We specifically excluded subsistence because there's already statute, which is 1605258, which directs the Board of Fisheries to make that a priority, and we didn't want to take that away. We wanted it to be subsistence, personal use, and then we would then the department would go commercial or sport, depending on what they deem necessary for the management of the resource. As the representatives talked during the Senate joint resolution, he feels that, you know, salmon on Alaskan's dinner plate is a priority, and hence the piece of legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Mulligan. On behalf of the bill sponsor, questions for bill sponsor staff, and committee members? Representative Johnson.
Thank you. Just for clarification, thank you, Mr. Chairman, that it says personal use, is that, would that include dip netting, rod and reel fishing? Where is guided services? Can you go into a little bit what we're really talking about here?
When the state had to relook at how subsistence, when we had to create non-subsistence areas, personal use was developed out of that. And I could be wrong, we might have to refer to Fish and Game for this, but I don't believe there's a rod and reel personal use fishery at this time. We have there's dip netting, there's shrimp pots, crab, and stuff like that, but I don't believe there's a hook and line. But these personal use fisheries were created in the non-subsistence areas, so Alaskans could still access salmon and other fisheries as a food source.
Thank you.
Mr. Mulligan, point of clarification here. We have bill version E for the committee, and that's the work draft that we're working on, so we need to adopt that version for the committee. Vice Chair Keller, do you want to do that, please?
Yeah, I would move CS for House Bill 266, version E, LS1199, as our working document.
Not hearing any objection. We have the work draft in front of us as a working document. We do have a number of people who wish to testify on the bill. However, I would ask, is there anyone online representing the Department of Fish and Game who wishes to comment on the bill? Is there Jennifer? Did you want to come up and speak to the bill?
It's up to the chair.
Would you please come up and offer the department's position, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jennifer Juhas. I'm the legislative liaison for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And the department does not take a position on allocative issues. This is a decision entirely for the committee and the legislature, as they have already delegated their allocation authority to the Board of Fish when they created it under Alaska Statute 1605-251. The department implements fish and game management strategies as we are directed by the Board of Fisheries.
Okay. That's even shorter than the bill itself. Questions for Jennifer, the Department of Fish and Game?
Representative
Munoz?
How does the Board of Fish establish a personal use category? What is the process that they
go through? The chair, Representative Munoz, I'll defer to Mike Mitchell if he has anything to add, since he is our attorney for the Board of Fish. But after public testimony, after a proposal is given for a particular fishery to be named a personal use fishery, then the eight criteria are taken into account before, you know, as they're determining whether to make this a personal use fishery, and then they label that a personal use fishery. Personal use, just like subsistence and other uses, tends to occur within an open fishery, the same way you would see with hunting. You might not designate something subsistence or personal use until there is a need for that, because the population is small enough that it needs to be designated only for that.
Mr. Mitchell, any additional comments?
Mr. Chairman, with me here is Lance Nelson, also Assistant Attorney General, who's been at this longer than I, so I'll turn it over to Mr. Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Lance Nelson. Just a couple of clarifications. Personal use only applies to fishing. There isn't any statutory standard that the board has to consider in opening a personal use fishery. There's no requirement that it be long-term or customary and traditional, or there be demonstrated reliance on the fishery. There just isn't anything in the statute at this time. So the board could basically, on its own determination, decide that it wants to create a personal use fishery and do that without any findings. The traditionally, though, the board in practice has generally found personal use fish or created personal use fisheries when there's been either in a non-subsistence area where you can't have subsistence, or in a subsistence area where maybe the fishery doesn't quite meet the criteria of subsistence fishing, then they will create a fishery very similar to a subsistence fishery.
Representative Munoz?
No, that's good. Thank you.
Representative Kawasaki?
Just humming.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Nelson. We do, if I don't... if there's any further questions for the agency, thank you, Jennifer. We do have a number of people online who wish to testify to the bill. And let's just jump in and get started here. In Sitka, Matt Donahue. Matt, are you online?
Yeah, I'm there. You got me?
Yes, loud and clear. Can you please identify yourself, please?
Yeah, my name is Matthew Donahoe. I'm a commercial fisherman in Southeast Alaska and also a sport fisherman, and I've been in the state for, I don't know, pushing 40 years, and I've always had a sport license. I'm concerned that this bill is a reallocation of the resource. We pretty much, you know, our group, our fisheries group, has always supported personal use, but
to prioritize it above commercial fishing, and especially from the direction of the testimony on Senate SJR 22, it seems like this is a resource grab, which that doesn't directly affect me right now, but it seems to me that you, in the future, in hard times, will be reallocating the fish away from the commercial fishermen who are vital to their communities to a different user group. And I'm really concerned with that. I would prefer the status quo far and away. And I know most of the people in this, that live in Southeast Alaska probably feel that way. Other people that come up from the lower 48 and participate in the summertime charter grab may feel differently. But here in Southeast Alaska, the residents seem to get all the fish they need. So I'm just concerned that this is a reallocation of the resource, and I wonder why that is necessary.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Donahoe. Is there anyone else at the Sitka site who wishes to testify?
Yes, John Murray, Sitka, Alaska, commercial fisherman and a personal use fisherman, harvester.
Go ahead, John.
Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to point out what Mr. Lance Nelson just said. The Board of Fish already has, and has already proven in Southeast, I don't know about the other areas in Alaska, but in Southeast they've already prioritized personal use fisheries when it's deemed necessary in different crab fisheries, shrimp. Some areas have been closed, opening dates later, if necessary, to protect the personal use fishery. So I think, this is more of a local area conflict that they're having, and maybe the Board of Fish is the one that really needs to sort this out, because they have done this in other areas in Alaska. It can be done through the Board of Fish. I don't think the legislature needs to make this a political issue any more than it's getting blown out to be right now. So it can be done. It should be done through the Board of Fish. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. One more time, is there anyone else at the Sitka site? If not, we will go north to Matt Sue. And as such, Rod Arno, can you identify yourself, please, and any affiliations?
Yes, Chairman Edgman. This is Rod Arno. Live in Palmer. I'm an executive director of the Alaska Outdoor Council. And the Outdoor Council supports passage of the House Bill 266 out of committee. This is an extremely important bill. The Outdoor Council is now in litigation with the Board of Fisheries because of their inability to comply with the state constitution, Article 8, Section 3 on common use. And common use is for all Alaskans to have the opportunity to get that fish first. And what we saw in Chetnup was we saw a loss of opportunity for personal use because of commercial fisheries. And so this makes sense. Actually, the difference, that this bill will pertain to non-subsistence areas also. So the priority would occur in non-subsistence areas. And again, thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you, Rod. Next, Mel Grove.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you for having me testify. My name is Melvin Grove. I live in Big Lake, Alaska, and I am a board member of the Alaska Outdoor Access Alliance, and I am a board member of the Mattsu Fish and Game Advisory Council. And I do support the passage of House Bill 266, and I just I think it's very important that as the public has every opportunity to catch their own fish first over all other means. And I just like to, as a charter captain out of Valdez, Alaska, too, I'd like to make a point that, I'm a cab driver is all I am for the sportsman who goes out and catches his own fish. So the charter grab or dig that some people like to refer to is in my mind kind of funny, since we do nothing but assist the public in harvesting their own resource. It's a public resource under the public trust doctrine. It's not a commercial resource, and the public should have every right to catch their own over having to buy it in the store. So I would appreciate if you would pass this out of committee and move it forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grove. Is there anyone else at the Matsu LIO?
Yes, I have one more. Go ahead.
Yes, Steve Runyon. I'm the chair of the Susitna Valley Advisory Committee, and thank you for this opportunity to testify. I think this is a very important bill in that it prioritizes a fishery that allows Alaskan residents to actually get their own resource rather than having somebody else, having to hire someone else to go collect that resource for them and then resell it to them. The personal use fisheries are incredibly important here in the Matsu Valley, especially in the last few years and in the foreseeable future as our king runs have been greatly diminished. Silver returns are sporadic, and also one of the major sockeye runs here in the Susitna Valley, the Aetna sockeye run, has failed to meet an escapement goal, its minimum escapement goal, many of the past years. So sport fishing opportunity, which many Matsu residents use to stock their freezers as well as just the enjoyment of sport fish, has become extremely limited. Many Susitna area residents rely on the above mentioned subsist or personal use fisheries, both in Chitna, Kenai, and Kasilof, and Fish Creek when there is a return to Fish Creek, to get their freezer supply of food. And what this bill states is that those Alaskan residents that would like to go out and have the opportunity to collect their own resource will gain priority over non-residents or other uses that are non-consumptive in purpose. Thank you very much for your time, and I do hope that you will move this on to the full legislature.
Thank you, Stephen. For the record, can you give us your last name one more time, please?
It's Runyon, R-U-N-Y-A-N.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Runyon. Next, we will go to Fairbanks, Byron Haley.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm Byron Haley, president of Chitna Dipner Association, and our vote last night at our board of directors meeting, we voted unanimously to support House Bill 266. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Byron. Ken Larson.
Yes, I'm Ken Larson, L-A-R-S-O-N. I'm a North Pole resident, and I run a charter business out of Valdez, Alaska, and I'm here representing the Prince William Sound Charter Boat Association. First, I'd like to offer a point of clarification in that both king salmon and the king salmon fishery and the halibut fishery are treaty fish and federally managed. Secondly, we've already seen the resource grab, as somebody said earlier, on the halibut fishery here in the state of Alaska. The commercial fishery controls approximately 85% of the halibut caught every year, which includes their bycatch. What we'd like to see is the House Bill 2. Okay, sorry about that. They cut us off again. Can you hear me now?
Yes, loud and clear, Ken.
Okay, what I started to say, we'd like to see House Bill 266 actually prioritize the restrictions from first to last. In other words, when the resource dictates that restrictions be imposed, that we first restrict commercial fishery access, then we restrict sport guide fishing, secondly, but then we restrict non-guided sport fishing, thirdly, personal use, fourthly, and subsistence would be the last priority from first to last. So, again, we do support the passage of something similar to House Bill 266 because it's a good start. Thank you.
Thank you. Is anyone else in Fairbanks who wishes to testify?
Is
anyone else online who wishes to testify on House Bill 266?
This is Kenai. I do have someone who'd like to participate.
My name is Ricky Geese. I'm the executive director of Kenai River Sport Fishing Association. We support moving HB 266 out of committee. We think on a policy level it's consistent with other state policies on subsistence. State subsistence is open to all state residents, and there are non-subsistence and subsistence areas within the state. So in the subsistence areas of the state, we already have this priority for all Alaska residents who are in subsistence fisheries to be the last group to be curtailed when there are times when we're trying to meet escapement goals. I think this policy put forth in HB 266 follows that same line of thought as a policy that prioritizes state residents in consumptive fisheries when we're prioritizing for conservation needs. I think this would be applicable in the non-subsistence areas of the state and follows the same policy generally thought out and enacted by the legislature for subsistence priority. There are many different personal use fisheries. It's not just for salmon dipnet fisheries. There are also personal use fisheries for crab, for shrimp, and I think this policy would be enacted and be beneficial for the state. For example, on the salmon fisheries, it's interesting that over 95% of all salmon harvested in the state of Alaska are used for commercial purposes, and a small percentage, the remaining percentage, are used for subsistence personal use in the sport fisheries. And I think this is a good prioritization for getting meat into the freezers of people who live here, and it's a priority well worth voting for and forwarding out of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Geese. Anyone else at the Kenai site who wishes to testify? Not?
No, we're completed.
Okay, thank you very much. Not hearing anyone else on the teleconference site wishing to testify. Next, we will move to the committee room here in Juneau. And Mr. McCune.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name's Jerry McCune. I'm president of Curdover District Fishermen United. Not everything always seems like it's black and white, so my expertise is on the Copper River. I'm also born and raised in Alaska, was actually born in Fairbanks. So I don't know if that's a plus or not, but anyway, I was born in Fairbanks. We have 350 residents. I know everybody talks about non-residents. Yes, there is non-residents in commercial fisheries, but we have 350 residents scattered around the state that do fish on the Copper River, and I'm one of those. I was there at the Board of Fish meeting when they established the personal use fishery, which is rightly so, and I respect residents to be able to go gather fish. And we have a subsistence fishery on the Copper River, which is kind of laid out like this. This is a commercial fishery. This, the personal use fishery, is between there. The subsistence is above there with the fish wheels, and sport takes place above that because the tributaries are all spread out up there. So if you read the bill last year, which was not a really good run on the Copper River, if you read the bill to achieve escapement goals, the Board of Fisheries would place restrictions on other fisheries before restricting personal use. Well, that's already done. Even though there's not a priority for personal use, the first one to be shut down is commercial fishery. Rightly so. Big user, we catch a lot of fish, and you know that's rightly so. So last year when the run came in, we realized it wasn't a very good run. They closed it down after four periods. And also in that Copper River, there's other stocks. There's local stocks called Delta stocks that come in. And the Kings come in with the sockeye. And then there's two closures on commercial fishing, inside closures for Kings. That's at the very beginning of the run. We have two closures. You can't fish inside the barrier islands. You got to fish out in the ocean to put more Kings in the river and protect Kings. Last year was a poor King run that resulted in Fish and Game realizing that the run wasn't coming about as it's supposed to, so there was a restriction on dip netting for zero Kings. The normal allocation of Kings is one King per person on the personal use. Personal use kept fishing. They didn't get any extra hours, which is built into our escapement goal. If you have 50,000 fish, sockeye go over the escapement beyond the sonar, then you have extra fishing time in the personal use fishery. Last year that didn't occur, but they also didn't shut any time down on the personal use fishery. It still had its hours and they still fished. And that's why we created the personal use, to create an opportunity for residents to have an opportunity to go fish. But they are the second biggest user group behind commercial fishing. So if you have absolute priority for subsistence here and priority here, it looks like to me that, you know, we'll have two priority fisheries, or one big priority over sport and commercial, which probably could result in more fish going up the river. But this is a very small run. Next year is predicted 2.2 million, which is the 10th largest prediction in history. But the King Run, now, it's not very high across the whole state. So I would oppose the bill because of those reasons, that they're already going to shut us down, and the personal use is not going to get shut down unless that run is absolutely not a very good run like back in the 70s or so far. If you look at the, I should have brought those over. There's been a few restrictions on personal use, but they've always been able to go down and fish and have an opportunity to gather salmon, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Millett.
Thank you, Jerry. Can you kind of walk me through? I know we have lots of different fisheries. Bristol Bay is different than Prince William Sound. That's different than Cook Inlet. Can you see an instance where this bill, if it were in effect in the last 20 years, can you tell me some of the fishery locations that would have been commercially shut down based on this legislation? Is there an instance since you're from Copper River, is there an instance in Copper River where you could see that this bill would enact a shutdown on commercial fisheries? I mean, you've talked about maybe back in the 80s or...
Through the chair, Representative Miller. The only way I'd see it shut down commercial fisheries, we have a database that's based on that sonar count. We live and die, so to speak, fish, whether we get to fish by that sonar count. And if that count isn't coming to what it's supposed to be to materialize that run, we do not fish. So if you had a priority for personal use, I would imagine that you could petition the Board of Fish to up the catch, which already is built into this game and goal. You have this assistance, you have the catch for the personal use, which is 110,000, I think, if I remember correctly. And then you have the escapement goal. So the lower end escapement goal is 350,000, the upper 750. If you change that 750 number on a small run like we have, when, like I testified earlier, 2 million is a big run, then you change the numbers down here. So you would have to have less fishing time or no fishing time to achieve that upper escapement goal now, if you change that escapement goal. So that would be the result. If you had a priority, you can always go and petition the board for more fish. Not necessarily that they're going to catch those fish. It all depends, and dip netting all depends on whether the water's up high or the water's low. If the water's low, a lot of the fish go up the middle, and it's very difficult for dip netters to catch the fish, and the fish wheels generally do pretty well above that, which all residents have an opportunity to go to the fish wheels too. And dip netting is hard in itself in the Copper because it's a raging river and you got to tie yourself off. It's a very, very hard to do. So I would say yes, it could. In the long run, it could have, yeah. Especially on those lower runs when back in the 70s, there wasn't as much dip netting going on, but there was also very low runs.
Follow up for some minutes.
And Jerry, just on the escapement goals. I know that's one of the things that commercial fishermen live or die on, is the escapement goals and meeting those escapement. Can you? I mean, I don't know if everybody here understands how escapement is calculated on sonar and how we watch our commercial fisheries on escapement goals. I mean, every announcement that we have in Bristol Bay starts out with an escapement. What the allocation of escapement was going to be, what if escapement was met, and that determines whether we have an opening or not. So can you walk us through the confidence level that we, as a commercial fishing group, your commercial fishing group, has in escapement and how it's measured, and if it's accurate, if it's you know, do we need more work on sonar? I mean, can you just kind of walk us through?
Through the chair, Representative Millett. We're pretty comfortable with our sonar. We have a new one. and our river is not very wide, so they have two. How it works is they have all the data from all the past runs. So if you are projecting a 1.7 million run, they can pretty well look at the 20-year catch and escapement. So the catch tells you at the beginning, which we only get 12 hours at the first period. You can kind of tell within those first two periods, if it's 12 hours fishing time, what that run's going to be. They just project off what they had in the last 20 years. So they last year they realized, and I realized out there fishing, that this wasn't a very good run. I love to fish, but you know the run wasn't coming in the way it's supposed to, and we got shut down after four periods. And rightfully so, because it wasn't a very good run. So you can kind of get a feel between the catch, what has already went by the sonar with the past data that they've been building all these years. And we're pretty confident that the sonars that we have, truthed off the old ones, are working pretty well. A lot of people might argue that, now that I said that, but I'm pretty comfortable with it.
And so, Jerry, in your where your expertise is in copper, we have a pretty sophisticated set of sonar, and you know where the escapement. You know because that fishery has been studied so far, and in depth, you have a really good idea of where the escapement is going to, where the spawning grounds are, and there's a lot of developed fisheries that have that. Have that technology and have that historical data. And I think, and I won't speak for the sponsor, but I guess my question would be to the sponsor next is what is the science behind the fishery up in the Matsu in your district, and how sophisticated are the escapements? And that my question is, and the reason I asked about the commercial fishing is because in the districts where there are commercial fishing, there's so much data on escapement goals and escapements, and there's historical data, and we have a known system that's in place, and I think that my question again will be towards the sponsor. How sophisticated are we in Matsu on these issues? Do we know what the escapements are? Do we have a sophisticated sonar system up in the Matsu so we know what the issues are in Matsu?
Do you want me to comment on it or sponsor?
Well, we could also direct that question. I see the bill sponsor staff kind of shaking his head, but Mr. Nelson, do you want to take a crack at that question?
Mr. Chairman, Lance Nelson, I'm afraid, I don't know if other people online are having the same problem, but we're only hearing about a half to two-thirds of what's being said, and I did not hear Representative Millett's question.
Okay, I'll ask you to repeat it, Lance, Representative Millett.
Lance, what I'm looking for is just some information on escapement goals that are up in the Matsu for the Cook Inlet, specifically for the Cook Inlet drift fishery. How sophisticated is our sonar network? The tributary is huge up in the Matsu. So are we doing sonar in every tributary that is known for spawning areas? And do we have accurate data on fish patterns? Do they go up this Little Sioux? What's the historical pattern for the Matsu so we can have we have 20-year data on some of our fisheries, and some of our fisheries we have, you go back to traditional knowledge and you have, 50 to 100 years of data. So what is our data and how accurate are our escapement numbers up in the Matsu?
Mr. Chairman, Lance Nelson, Department of Law. You probably need to talk to the fisheries managers about that. I can give you some information just based on my participation in board meetings over the years, but no, we don't have sonar on every tributary or every stream. We use one primarily as an index to apply to other streams as well. There's been some recent controversy and some changes made by the department and accordingly by the Board of Fisheries regulations, depending on the department information, about the use of Bendix sonar versus Didson sonar, and I think the new sonar, the Didson sonar, is being used primarily in that area now. But no, we, in most areas of the state, we don't have sophisticated, in a lot of areas of the state, we don't have sophisticated fish counting methods like sonar or even WARES. A lot of places we have aerial surveys or tower counts, depending on what makes sense and what the resources of the department will allow to monitor those runs. At the chairman's discretion, I also have some other points about some of the discussion here, but I can wait till later if you'd like.
If you would, Mr. Nelson, we'll bring you back for sure. We just had the bill sponsor staff, Mr. Mulligan, come to the table.
Again, Ben Mulligan, staff to Rep. Stoltz's office. Mr. Nelson quoted some stuff about sonar. Currently, according to Fish and Game, our sonar doesn't work. So this summer, they went to a three-lake system, which, working with Cook Inlet Aquaculture, they used to do an index for our whole Susitna system. How reliable that is, we don't know, because it's only based on 3 years' worth of data. And that's how we get our sockeye escapement currently. We used to have a Bendix sonar, which they would index for our goal. They were transitioning over to Didson, and we were in conjunction with that. They were running weir systems on these lakes that they knew were systems that had sockeye in them. And after looking at that for 3 years, they decided that our sonar. So we don't have any means of, management for like Bristol Bay. You've got the test fisheries, the tower camps, weir camps. You guys know progressively where your fish are coming from salt all the way up into the spawning grounds. We don't have that luxury. We're getting our information post-season after they make it up to the lakes. And that's where we are right now.
Representative Millett, I think it's it's going to be necessary to have somebody from the department come up at our next hearing and identify or to address some of these specific questions, because I suspect that there are going to be more questions as well. And thank you for that response in the meantime, Mr. Mulligan. Anyone else here in the committee room wish to testify? Cheryl, do you want to come forward?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I'm just testifying on behalf of myself. I'm actually a Cook Inlet commercial fisherman for the last 31 years. A couple of points I think I could clear up.
Can you put your name on the record, please?
Cheryl Sutton. Sure. Okay. Thank you. We're managed by escapement, like every other fishery in the state. So the commercial fishery does not operate until they achieve sufficient escapement. And we also must put in river sufficient sport harvest and personal use. In Cook Inlet, I'm in the central district on the east side. There's actually a gillnet personal use fishery that occurs prior to our opening in marine waters outside the sea loth. And we're managed on, where I fish, we're managed on sea loth escapement. So when it reaches a certain number, we can open. The fish that are harvested in that personal use gillnet fishery are not counted toward any of that escapement, so that's sort of surplus to it. Over the years, that's the way it's always been, that we have provided the escapement and we don't fish unless the escapement's there. And it's not just escapement for, reproduction, it's escapement for providing the sport fishery and the personal use fishery opportunities. The other thing, I don't know if you've talked to enforcement at all, but there are a lot of problems in both the Kenai River and the Sea Loth dip net fisheries. A lot of non-residents participating. They simply don't have the bodies to go out there and actually enforce the fisheries. I know the city of Kenai has been fairly upset about the damage that's being done, and they've addressed those measures. And I think all of those things are relevant. But the bottom line is, I wanted to say, as commercial fishermen, we've always supported the personal use fishery. We've never gone on record saying we hate the personal use fishery. We think it's a great opportunity for folks. We just want to see it run in the manner it's supposed to be, and that it's a resident fishery. And because I live on the Kenai Peninsula and I see these tourists all the time, they just talk about all the fish that they're taking in the personal use fishery and they're non-resident. And I just wanted to put those points on the record, because I'm not a member of USITA. I set gillnet, and it was not our lawsuit, and we've always supported it. In fact, when we used to have subsistence fisheries, we would help people on our sites. We'd help them put their nets out. We'd help them, take care of their fish, and we were always happy to do that. So it's, we have no animosity toward those fisheries.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Sutton. Not seeing any questions. Ms. Juhas, on behalf of the department, you want to come back up, and you wanted to offer a clarification?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, again, my name is Jennifer Uhas. I'm legislative liaison for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And while we'd be very happy to bring some of our fisheries managers to the next hearing to clarify any of the technical questions, I don't want the record to stand that Fish and Game has said, quote, our sonar doesn't work. That would be an inaccurate statement. And we will have some fisheries managers here to explain how complex the technical projections are related to sonar. But I'd like the record to reflect that that would be the sponsor staff's paraphrase.
Okay, thank you for that point. Mr. Nelson, you had some additional comments you wanted to offer, and I have a question for you as well. So if you wanted to offer those comments at this point, I'll reserve my question for a moment later.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We don't have the benefit of version E that you may now have before you, so some of our concerns may have been addressed in any changes to that, but... One basic concern we have is that it sounds like the intent of the sponsor was to make personal use fishing the second priority after subsistence fishing, but the language of the bill that we have that was on the internet doesn't do that. It says, notwithstanding the subsistence provisions of 1605-258, and then it goes on to create a priority over all other fisheries. So that language doesn't carry out, we believe, the intent of the sponsor and actually creates a super priority for personal use over all uses, including subsistence. So hopefully that's been addressed to clarify the sponsor's intent. But we just wanted to bring that to the committee's attention. Another concern we have is that it's based, the priority kicks in based on concerns about escapement goals. As already been stated, there are a lot of fisheries in the state besides salmon or anadromous species that are personal use fisheries. Those fisheries don't have escapement goals because they have guideline harvest levels and other things to protect the conservation of the stock and a harvestable and define a harvestable surplus, but they're not escapement goals, and because there's no escaping past the net kind of action there. So we would request different language in that regard, if it's the committee's intent or the sponsor's intent to include species besides salmon. I wanted to clarify, too, in answer to an earlier question, that the board does have the authority to prefer personal use over all uses except for subsistence. It by its allocation authority, it can prefer a personal use, commercial sport, or guided sport fishery over another another one of those categories of fishing under the authority it currently has. To the extent also that this would create a priority over sport and guided sport and commercial fishing, as sounds like the intent of the sponsor, It would be very helpful to have findings as to legislative findings as to why that would be appropriate and necessary. Currently, the bill doesn't explain at all the reasons and justification for preferring personal use. I think those reasonable ones could be identified, but it doesn't have that now. And that would be helpful if we had to defend the law against constitutional challenges that of no rational basis to support that. And I'll reserve any other comments to maybe response to your question.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. And given that you don't have the most current version in front of you, I'm going to hold my question because I was going to ask you about a provision in version E, which you don't have apparently before you. So it's the chair's intent to hold the bill. We have been inundated in our office with a lot of comments about the bill, both pro and con. I'd like also to keep public testimony open, and unless there's any further discussion by the committee, I'm going to adjourn the meeting today at approximately 11:35. Thank you.